We're going to get rid of every religious spirit. If you're religious, you know, I hate religion. So if you're religious, I got good news for you. We have authority over situations in our lives. And I like to give examples out of my own life and my own experience. And something happened this week that I was thinking about it this morning to help some people. When we talk about using your authority, we're talking about something supernatural, supernatural power that we have. There's two words for power in the Bible. There's more than two, but the two common words for power is dunamis and exousia. In Luke 10:19, where it says, I give you authority, or some translations say power, other translations say authority. Authority is a more correct word. It's the Greek word exousia, okay? And authority means to exercise control over something, all right? And it's a state of control, a state of control over something. Now, the other word for power is dunamis, like in Acts 1:8, you shall receive power. That's dunamis, okay? Dunamis, power. Dunamis, where we get our English word dynamite, all right? We have that power by the Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit lives in you. You have power, okay? Authority, exousia, we have authority. Whatever, Tracy read the scriptures, Matthew 8:19, 8:18, 19:20. That has to do with prayer, all right? Using your authority. Two or three are gathered in my name. I'm there in the midst of them, okay? Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And it's repeated in Matthew 16:19. He read that also. That's using your authority. Binding on earth, and heaven will back you up in it. Okay, now there are areas where you don't need to use your authority. You just need to go someplace else. What do I mean by that? You're in a restaurant and they don't treat you right. They slap your food on the plate. They act like they don't care. Sometimes you give them a chance. Sometimes it's just employee having a bad day. Okay? When you really like the food, I mean, you really like the food at their restaurant. Okay? And then what I do, I'm a little different. I'm not going to keep on letting somebody mistreat me without. Now, I'm not going to bind the devil in the person, or I'm not saying that they're full of the devil, and I'm not going to use my authority on that. I'm just going to talk to the supervisor. You understand? Okay, and sometimes they don't care, and you still get that mistreatment. Okay, let's say it's your favorite Italian place or whatever. Well, go to another Italian place. I'm not going to sit there, well, you know, I take authority over the supervisor. I take authority. I'm not using my authority over little stuff like that. I just go somewhere else. I'm not going to keep giving my money. There's a place I really like the seafood. Man, and crab legs, man, they get it fresh overnight. It's about this thick around, man. You use scissors to get it. You don't need them little things. You just use scissors to cut it, and a big old piece of meat come out, you know. And I love going to that place. So I'm not going to call the name because I don't want to get sued. But I was in a coffee shop. A friend of mine owned a coffee shop at the time. And the owner of the restaurant came in. And it was sectioned, Yes, the restaurant was sectioned off. And he was in an area where he didn't see me. He had no idea. I came in and just sat down before I went to order my coffee. And he's over there chatting it up with the owner. And then he began to talking, and then he just, in his conversation, he used the N-word. And I knew the guy who was the owner of the restaurant. And I've seen him in other situations talking down on women and like a dog. And I was like, oh, all right. And then that happened. So this wasn't like the first time. So I don't need to be minding him. I'm just not giving that restaurant my money. I love the seafood there, man. It was some good seafood. And you know, I go there now because God removed him. All right. Under new ownership now, I go back and enjoy those big, thick, man, I'm getting hungry right now. My wife had an incident at a car dealership, and it was the grace of God that she didn't tell me until after it was over with, because I would have been over there. Because when somebody mistreat my wife, you know, if she didn't tell me none of that incident, like if she had told me in the middle, and it was, sometimes, you know, God will protect you from stuff. Because the Lord know how I'm, I do not want to give my money to people and you treat me crazy. You know, that I just have an issue with that, okay? I will drive. And I told Carl about it in another situation. I would drive to Indianapolis and go somewhere else before I'll stay. If my only option is 2 hours away, that's where I would go. Now, I'm not fooling with you. So there's that. That's what I mean by, okay, lesson one, pastor's rant. Okay. Somebody mistreats you, one at store A, go to store B. You don't need to use your authority. Just move. You're not getting my money anymore. Done. Okay? Again, sometimes it's just an employee and people, they don't fire quickly. They just allow somebody to keep messing over people, you know. And then because the authority is blackmailing the company somehow, it may be a person who can't get fired because of some old school relationships or something. And then they're just allowed to keep doing stuff. So anyway, that's that. Now let me get into my message. Now we're going to deal with these religious spirits. Every one of them, we're going to run every single, if there's any religious spirit left in here, we're going to run it all out. But if you allow yourself to be teachable. See, the thing about religious people, they already know everything. And they filter everything. They have a filter before they can see, here's the truth. Their filter is everything that they've been taught. And they never, so they question truth, but they never question this. They just accepted it, and they grow up with it, and they look at you crazy when you give them the truth. Like the sovereignty of God. We talked about that. Let me bring that back to you, because if you don't understand this, none of this stuff will seem crazy to you. 2 Corinthians 4:4 refers to Satan. Now, this is foundational. Write down these scriptures because people will challenge you on this. Oh, man, I mean, religious folk, they go back crazy over this. That's why I'm going to take my time and revisit This thing about the sovereignty of God means that God is in control, that God's running things. God's running this world. God is not running this world. If God was running this world, have you read the news lately? Have you, let's just think about, if God was in control, why doesn't he stop this whole measles pandemic? Is it called pandemic or what is it called? Outbreak. If God is in control, then how come he don't stop that? If God is in control of the world, why do you have inequalities? Why do you have little children starving when there's more than enough money in this world to end starvation? If God is in control, why did he allow coronavirus? Huh? Now, on the other hand, non-religious people, people who just think, they're like, you Christians say God's in control. And some people do not serve God for this reason. They're like, man, God don't exist. And you Christians say God is in control. How can you say God's in control of all the mess that's going on? Tornadoes coming, ripping through neighborhoods, destroying homes, and hurricanes, and catastrophes. And even insurance companies call them acts of God. And then religious people, they give these stupid answers. It makes no sense. Well, you know, God had to allow that. He had a purpose in it. We don't always know what God's purpose is, but it's just God's will. Everything that happened. I grew up, my mother used to tell me, everything that happened was God's will. Like, can't fight City Hall. You just sit there and take it. And it's just God's will. What kind of purpose would God have in wiping out whole areas and communities? Okay. Well, all those fires and all the prophets come out the window, don't they? Come out the woodwork. There's like, you know, California wildfires. Well, you know, that's God coming against Hollywood. Well, God don't miss. Hollywood is still functioning and operating. That's not God's nature to destroy stuff. It's the thief that comes to steal. Why don't people read the Bible once? That's all I ask. Read it once. But it's this filter, right? The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. God's not destroying. That's not, God don't have nothing to do with these wildfires and wiping homes out. Okay. Remember 2 Corinthians 4:4. Satan is the... Read the Bible once. Just once. Satan is referred to the little g, God of this world. Now see, this is where people stop listening. Again, because they've already got the whole Bible figured out. And I don't know about you, but I'm still learning. Because I'm open, that's how one day I discovered these truths, because I was open to hear something different. And I examined, the Bible says to examine the scriptures. Study to show yourself approved. There's a difference between reading and studying, right? So I discovered Satan is the god of this world, right there in the Bible, 2 Corinthians 4:4, little g God. I gave you the example of a person who leases an apartment. Well, they don't own the apartment. They signed a lease. They have a temporary lease. And there's a time when that lease is over, maybe 1 year lease, maybe 2 year lease. Anybody ever signed a lease? Okay. Now, the world, Satan became the god of this world when Adam, who was given authority in this earth, when he sinned, he turned the authority over to Satan. You see that in Luke chapter 4, I believe verse 5 and 6. We won't revisit that. You can read the Bible one time. Go there and read it, okay? That's when, or that verse talks about the authority in the earth was Satan's to offer. It said, it was delivered to me. That was one of the temptations in the wilderness. When was it delivered? When Adam sinned in the garden. Remember the temporary lease. There's a time when God will evict Satan from the temporary lease.
Yeah, right.
Ultimately, God is in control. Right. Now, he is not in this earth realm. That's why you have the world in a mess, because Satan is the little g, god of this world. He's got the world messed up, and he's got religious people, preachers, confusing people, telling them it's God in control, and Satan is throwing rocks and hiding his head. He's very clever, but we're exposing him today. The Bible says we shouldn't be ignorant of his devices. He gets people thinking that God is running the world, and many people are staying away from church because Christians are telling this lie. And they can't understand it. You say God's in control? Have you looked around? I don't want to serve a God like that. All right. Authority is different than prayer. Now go back. I talked more about that in detail in previous message. This is part three. When you got a part three, there's part one and two. Okay, but that's just a little crash course in God's sovereignty. Is God in control? Ultimately, he is. Right now, he's not. Good news is, we have authority over all the devil's power. He gave the church, the authority. So the devil cannot run roughshod over your life. Don't let him take that U-Haul, come into your life, take your sickness, or excuse me, take your health, right? You have authority to bind that sickness and disease. Bind that poverty, right? Bind that confusion. Don't let him come in here, come in your life with the mental health issues. You stop it in Jesus' name. You use your authority. You tell the enemy, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and love, and a sound mind. I have a sound mind. See, authority is not talking to God about your problems. It's talking to your problems about God. See, prayer, there's a place for prayer. There's a place for talking to God about your problems. You want to just talk stuff out with God and talk to him about your issues. Authority, on the other hand, is using the authority that he's given you. Bind that problem. Loose those blessings. Loose those finances. Loose your health.
Yes, yes.
Let me say again for people in the back. Authority is not talking to God about your problem. Authority is talking to your problem about God. Oh, yeah. You got to talk to that situation. You run toward your giant with your mouth wide open. I've been watching this series. Anybody ever heard of The House of David? You heard of that, Tracy? Anybody rolling with that? Man, I just started watching that. I looked at it. I was like, I wonder, is this any good, man? I started watching that, man, The House of David. That made me want to teach on David. David, that's my guy, man. He's an example of somebody who, he made some mistakes. See, the Bible's not full of people who never made mistakes and they're perfect. David made some crazy mistakes. But yet God looked at him as a man after his own heart. The Apostle Paul, one of my favorite scriptures. I should make a list of everything I said in one of my favorite scriptures. And it's kind of an overlooked scripture in 2 Corinthians, I believe, chapter 7. Now, Paul would be standing over when he was Saul, before he was saved. He would stand over and watch Christians get stoned to death. He'd drag them into prisons, stuff like that. But he got saved. When you become saved, you become a brand new person on the inside, right? Check this scripture out. He says, receive us, for we have wronged no man. We've corrupted no man. What? How can you say that? You used to drag Christians to prison. How can you say you wronged no man? You right there when Stephen was stoned. We've wronged no man. We corrupted no man. Oh, man, I'm thankful for that verse. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that when you in Christ, you become a new creation. I know I'm forgiven. I don't know if y'all been perfect all your life. I did some horrible things. Man, before I was a Christian, I did some horrible things. I treated people horribly. Treated women horribly. But I wronged no man. I corrupted no man. Hallelujah, I can say that. Huh? Because if you look back in the old days before Christ, before you were saved, man, I could be depressed. I think like Curtis Mayfield, if there's a hell below, we all gonna go. Except for Jesus. Had it not been for the Lord, where would we all be? All of us were under the same boat. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But read the Bible one time. That's when religion closes its book. That's a fragmentary part of a sentence. Yes, we're all just sinners saved by grace. Anybody ever heard that lie? We just saw. Sinners saved by grace. That's a contradiction of terms. How in the world can you be a sinner saved? Just read it one time. So I've studied this word. I mean, don't mess with me. I don't know everything. Again, you never know everything about the Bible. And I've studied the Bible a lot. The more you know, the more you read and study, the more you find out you don't know. Religious folk, I got it all figured out. This is what I've been taught. There's a preacher told another preacher, he said, I know you're right and I'm wrong, but I'd rather die than admit it. There's a popular preacher, like, and you know, I got some inside information on certain things. I wouldn't call people out. That's not my point. But these are two, I wouldn't say famous, well-known. That's a better word. Well-known ministers. One guy, he's known for teaching on a particular subject, and his friend was teaching him about the grace of God. And this guy's got all this material on this particular subject and he has classes and courses and things like that. And he told a guy, he said, man, he accepted the grace message. He said, it would render all this stuff that I'm teaching like null and void. I wouldn't have all this stuff to. See, I don't do complicated. My eyes get tired. You send me something, it's just complicated, and it's like we got all these steps to do this, and steps to faith, and steps to righteousness, and steps to. See, Jesus collapsed the steps. I don't know why I'm going this direction today. Somebody obviously needs it. Jesus collapsed the steps. Like, you got whole seminars, for example, on how to get into God's presence, how to get deep into his presence. Christians love deep stuff. Love it. Generational curses. Don't even get me started on that. Go deep into your past. Deep, deep, deep. Christ redeemed me from the curse. I ain't got no generational curse. Let me give you a generational curse seminar in how many seconds? Somebody count. Christ redeemed you from the curse. You ain't cursed. You blessed. Any curse try to fall, try to come on me or fall off. But people want it. They pay their money and they go to these conferences and spend $50 or whatever, and then they sit there in the class and they're taking notes and all this stuff on general. What you going to tell people? They got I don't want to know. They'll tell you. Steps to the presence of God. The word said, come boldly to the throne. He collapsed the steps. He brought us into God's presence. You are as close to God. How to get close to God? 10 steps. You're as close to God as you're ever going to be. He's in you. In him we live and move and have our being. Well, I don't feel God. He ain't a feeling. Sometimes I don't feel saved. I don't go by my feeling. I know the Holy Spirit lives in me. Does the Holy Spirit live in you?
Yes.
How'd that happen? You became born again. You received Jesus as your Lord. You become a new creation. Christ lives in you. You as close to God as you're ever going to get. Just talk to him. Open your mouth, talk to him. This is not popular teaching, right? Okay. All right, I'm going to start my message now. I got 10 minutes. Okay, this is an example. Mark chapter 11, I think we can get through this one. Jesus, we're not going to read the whole passage. I encourage you to go ahead and read it. On the following day when they came from Bethany, he was hungry. See, Jesus was 100% God and 100% man. All right? How come your pastor don't read the Bible? You understand how much Bible I just gave you? See, that's the religious spirit for you. Like, because we didn't turn to every particular... You know, if you just jot down, I gave you a whole lot of references and stuff. Okay? So, don't be tripping. Okay. On the following day, when they came from Bethany, he was hungry. Okay, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. And he was hungry. And seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to see if he could find anything on it. Okay, there was a fig tree, and just to give you a little background, there's two kind of fig trees. There's one kind of fig tree that when it had leaves, it's supposed to have figs. Just to address people who say, why did Jesus mean to that tree? Why he cursed that poor little tree? Because it wasn't doing its job. I mean, so he used it as an example. Well, he didn't curse it because it wasn't doing its job. He just used it as an example to teach an object lesson, okay, on the subject of faith, all right, how faith works. And this is not prayer here. Jesus is using his authority. And this is what you can do about your problem. What can you use your authority on? Anything that comes from the devil. And like the song says, see, it talks about the promises. You need to be familiar. You need to know what belongs to you. You need to know your inheritance in Christ. You need to know that God wants to prosper you. He desires that you be in health, that you prosper in all things. All right? He gives you everything that pertains to life and godliness. Right? I'm come, Jesus said, that you may have life and have it more abundantly. The abundant life belongs to you. He doesn't want you broke, poor, busted, and disgusted. Doesn't want you depressed. Well, it's just, you know, when you get older, you know, you're going to start not remembering things. I don't have memory like I used to. You never hear me saying stuff like that. I have a sound mind. I know how I have a right to that. Okay, what was I talking about? I forgot. No, I'm just kidding. All right, Mark. So, seeing in a distance. Okay, he's on his way. He's leaving Bethany. He's on his way to Jerusalem. All right, he runs across a tree. He saw in a distance a fig tree and leaf. He went to see if he could find anything on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. For it was not the season for figs. It was really wasn't the season. It was the time for figs on that particular tree. The tree did not have figs. It should have. Okay. That translation is a little off. Okay. It gives you the idea that this wasn't a time of year for figs. Why in the world would Jesus come to a tree expecting figs to be on it? And then curse the tree for not having figs, and the fig wasn't supposed to be on in the first place. Okay, but there's two kind of fig trees, okay? Sometimes translators, that's why I read the Bible from different translations. Sometimes translators miss things, okay? They do their best. They do an overall good job. Now, you can read verse 15 through 19. It's... We're gonna skip that. Actually, what happened, Jesus, he's leaving Bethany, on his way to Jerusalem, on the way sees the fig tree, okay? And, let's read the 14 first. And he said to it, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples heard it. You imagine what they're thinking? Now, we're reading the Bible. Okay, it's Jesus. Yeah, he spoke to his tree. But think about it. What are they thinking? What would you have thought? On your way someplace, he stops, he looks at the tree, and he says, "May no one eat fruit from you ever again." He's talking to a tree. It can't talk back to him. That tree wasn't saying anything, but yet it was. "You ain't getting no figs from me. You don't think a tree can talk? You don't think your circumstances can talk? You ever have your bank account talk to you? You ever be in a store and you wanted to buy something? And your checking account is talking to you? So you can't get this today. Huh? Your bank account can talk. You ever had your body talk to you? You ain't going to work today. Using your authority, it's not talking to God about your problem, it's talking to your problem about God. You got to know what to say.
Right.
"Let no one eat fruit from you ever again." He goes to Jerusalem. He drives out the money changers and the pigeon sellers that drove out the tables and seats of those that bought and sold in the temple. That's what he did in Jerusalem. He did his thing. And he goes on, he's on his way back with his disciples to Bethany. On the way back, the disciples noticed something. Drop down to verse 20. And they passed by. As they passed by in the morning, this is 24 hours later. Okay. They saw the fig tree withered away to its roots. They didn't notice that at first. See, the root system is underneath the ground. When you speak to your problem, sometimes you don't see penny of change right then. Huh? Thank you, Lord. When you speak to your problem, you're speaking to the root of the problem. Sometimes you don't see it on the outside. But you speak to that situation and go on about your business like Jesus did. Why don't things just change instantly like Jesus? Well, did the thing change instantly? Yeah. The root system represents the spirit realm. When you speak to your problem, instantly something happened in the spirit. Even though you can't see it. So wait for it to manifest. For Jesus here, it was 24 hours later, they saw the fig tree withered away to its roots. And Peter remembered. What did he remember? "Let no one eat fruit from you ever again." They probably was thinking, "Man, this dude talking to a tree, man. Who we following here?" But 24 hours later, he saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. He said, "Rabbi, look! The fig tree you cursed is withered away." This wasn't about the tree, it's about you. He's showing us how faith works. Verse 22, and Jesus answered them. He was a master teacher. Have faith in God. This is a mistranslation. It should read, in the margin of some of your Bibles, I think sometimes the translators have problem with certain things and try to tone it down. when it don't need toned down. If you look in some of your Bibles, I'm not making this up. You can, it's not in all Bibles, but in some Bibles, in the margin, it'll say, have faith of God. Back to these religious people. They were slamming people talking about faith. And they said, oh, these faith teachers, they're talking about this verse says, have the faith of God. It don't say that. He's used all these Greek references. Right? It don't say have the faith of God. It don't say that nowhere. He wrote a book, man, this guy, educated guy. So, this is when I got a great revelation. I was teaching in a Bible school in Greece. Picture this scene. It's a Bible school in Greece. Actually, there was a Greek pastor there because several of his students go to the school. All right? Greek pastor had an African wife. She's from Sudan. Fixed us a great African meal, man. And I like, I was at Nico's party last night where Fifi talking about she's a girl after my heart. Since she had cappuccino and had 8 sugars in there. I probably shouldn't tell this with Carla in here. But see, I like my sugar. I toned it down, though. I don't do the 8 no more. But I used to be of that flavor. But when we were having that meal, and his wife, from Sudan, she was saying, man, she said, you got to be African. Because African loves their sugar. She said you can have a food plant shut down, not very much noise. But when the sugar plant shut down, you got a riot. Okay, back to my story. So, and I went to their church, wonderful church. And he would speak Greek. He could speak English, but he would speak Greek, and his wife would translate in English. They had an international congregation. So I got Greek students, got it? The New Testament was originally written in what? Greek. I got Greek students. I got an English Bible, and I have been taught, and based on my study, it says have the faith of God. But being a smart person I am, I really want to be sure, because I'm getting ready to tell these Greek students what it says in Greek. And they sitting out there with a Greek Bible. So I can't fake them. Not that I'm trying to, but I don't want them hollering back at me. No, man, it says have faith in God. How many of you know there's a difference? Having faith in God, which we should, that's not my point. Of course, we have faith in God. I'm not disputing that. What I'm disputing is, what does this verse say? Because it's important in the example that Jesus is given to get the right message that he's trying to convey. He's trying to convey, you have the faith of God. Ah, I'm getting excited up in here. So being a smart person I am, I asked my translator, because he's translating them back to, in Greek. I didn't try to teach him nothing. I said, read in your Greek Bible, before I went out there to teach, read in your Greek Bible, Mark 11:22, read it to me and translate it back to me in English. He said, have God's faith. I said, thank you. And that's when I got a revelation. I'm thinking, man, I'm coming all the way from America to talk to Greek students. They're there to learn from me, and they got Greek Bibles in their hand. And the people over here, they get mesmerized. I think somebody told me, man, my pastor knows the Greek. All those students I was teaching knew the Greek. My revelation that I got was, just because you know Greek, don't mean you got revelation. I'm having dinner at the pastor's house, and he uses Strong's Concordance. I'm thinking to myself, what you doing using a Strong's Concordance, and you Greek? Now, this might not mean anything to you, but don't let people like, oh, you know, does your pastor know Greek? My pastor know Greek. Now, I study a little Greek, but I know just enough to be dangerous. I mean, I just barely know the alphabet. It's a work in progress because I'm fascinated by languages. But to understand the Bible, you need revelation of the Holy Spirit. There's some Greek Orthodox priests that don't have a clue about the Bible. All they know is a bunch of religion that they've been taught. Just because you know Greek don't mean you know the Bible. All right, I'm all right with time. So let me close with this one. So have God's faith. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, mountain represents your circumstances. Obviously, there was a mountain there. He looked at the mountain. So whoever says to this mountain, what? Be taken up and thrown into the sea and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. Now sometime when you speak to a situation, see, your heart has two compartments, your spirit and your soul. And the doubt in your heart can take place in your soul. You can have some doubt in your soul, but you just speak to that situation. Your faith is working on that situation. You may have some doubt in your head, but your faith is still working. I like that he says, whoever. Whoever. Because whoever includes me. Right? Oh, back to this. Let me finish up. Tie up a loose end. I don't know if I finished this, but when I talked about when it says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, what I did say was you can't be a sinner saved. All have past tense sinned. The next verse says being justified freely. That's what I mean by keep reading. Justified means declared righteous freely by his grace. Okay. Here's another lie. People, they think they're smart, but actually they're ignorant of the Bible. They say, well, you know, like, why you black folk, you know, listening to this white man's religion? Oh, this is, you know, back in the slavery days, they used the Bible to keep black people in check and make them do what the master say do. Now, some horrible things was done in slavery, well documented, in the name of religion. Huh? It's horrible, horrible stuff. And use the Bible to justify it. That don't mean the Bible is not the truth. People can use the Bible. They doing that today. They're using the Bible to make people think that they're dirty, no good, dog, sinners, filthy rags. They're doing the same thing. But see, this whoever is a revelation. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever. All have sinned. That means the person that wrote it is included. And when the slave owner opened up and said, all have sinned, it didn't say, All have, now he might have said, all have sinned except the white man. But that wouldn't be true. He would have to put that in there. But if he say all have sinned, that include him. I'm just a simple person. I'm not a simpleton, but I'm a simple person. And I can read. And the Bible is simple. The Bible is so simple it takes somebody to help you misunderstand it. And unfortunately, that's what we've had over the years. It's filters. I want to conclude with this. Don't take something just because a preacher says it. Me, anybody else, go examine the scriptures for yourself to see if these things are so. That's what a good Bible student does. Check it out for yourself. Oh, happy day when you understand that you're not filthy rags. That you're not a dirty, no, we're all just dirty, no good sinner. What's the purpose of a new creation? Does God make a new creation filthy rags? No, we're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. We're God's master, you're a masterpiece. I ain't gotta go to Africa to find out I'm a king. I go to Romans 5:17. See, some people, their basis is wrong. Like, your base, my base is not Africa. My base is the word. My base is I reign as king because of Jesus. The Bible is inclusive. It's everybody. Huh? You ain't no better than me. I ain't no better than you. We all on level playing field in God. Amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. Well, there we go. I'm all over the place today, but hopefully you got something out of that.
Yes.
Praise God. Let's give God praise.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah, you are somebody in God. You know that?
Yes.
You are a piece of work.
Yes.
God's workmanship. Yes. His masterpiece. Yes. Say, I'm a masterpiece.
I'm a masterpiece.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Every head, body, every eye closed. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word.